read a kind of shorter version of that gospel reading if you're following around. I want to talk, though, about that entire gospel reading. What we read kind of prepares for that story. I've often said before, and I want to remind you of this to kind of put this reading in one context that it can be looked at, and that's the context I'd like to look at it today, is this. When we read the scriptures and we hear about the religious customs or the religious tradition of its time, particularly Judaism, we're not so much just reading about Judaism, but we're really reading about all religion. Judaism in the scriptures is kind of the prototype or the stereotype of what all religion can be, both its strengths and its weaknesses. And so today I'd like to kind of look at this reading in that kind of perspective. We hear about this blind man. It's important to remember back in the time of Jesus, it was believed that if someone was ill or had a disease or was blind or was poor or was oppressed, kind of not somebody who was really living like everybody else, that somehow they were being punished by God. It was a punishment. We may think we don't think like that anymore, but I still think there's remnants of that in some of our thinking, but it was very prevalent in the time of Jesus. So this man who was blind, it says he was born blind. So they begin to say, well, if he was born blind, then it must be something about his family, his parents, that must have sinned, and therefore this man was born blind. So that's the perspective that the Jewish tradition would have seen this man born blind. It's his family's sins that have made this happen. So Jesus comes along, and Jesus is someone from that religious tradition. He was formed and shaped in that tradition. His roots are in that tradition. It defines who he is. He was a rabbi of the Jewish tradition, a great teacher. He comes along and encounters this blind man, and he does three things that the religious tradition react to. Three things that he did wrong. Three things he did that broke the law of the Jewish tradition. First, he heals this blind man. And what right does this blind man have to be healed in the first place? Since his parents must have done something that he deserved this. Jesus heals him, gives the blind man sight. Then he does another thing. First of all, the other thing he does is he does this on the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath in the Jewish tradition was a day where you didn't do anything that was defined as productive. It was supposed to be a day of rest. You didn't produce anything. You didn't work. You didn't do those kinds of things. And even if somebody was ill, the law said that if they were near death, you could do something. But if they were not near death, well, you can wait a while. Wait till the next day. I mean, it was part of that custom. And the third thing is, it's just a little phrase in there, but it says Jesus spat on the ground, and with saliva, he takes dirt and he forms this kind of paste and he wipes it on the man's eyes. That very act of producing that mud, that paste, was considered work. It was labor. He was violating the Sabbath. So Jesus heals the man born blind. He does it on the Sabbath, and he works by making this mud, this with the saliva that he puts on the man's eyes, violating the rule of the Jewish tradition. And what we see, I think, in the rest of this reading is this man who is given vision begins to see more as he understands more of who Jesus is and the vision and dream that Jesus has. And the Pharisees who encounter this man come from a religious tradition where they think they see all that there is to be seen. They understand all there is to be seen. And yet as this reading goes on, we see that they become, in a sense, blind. They begin to see less or understand less. I think what we can learn from this a little bit is that in their religious tradition, they had it all defined and all figured out. And somehow this Jesus comes along and he does something that is somehow outside of what we consider to be our religious tradition, our religious custom. so presumptuous sometimes, and religious traditions can sometimes think that we own God. We can decide where God can and can't be, and where God can and can't act. And the Pharisees are reacting against this. Jesus is acting in a way, and he's one of their own. He's a person of this tradition, and he's working outside of the law, outside of the rules, outside of the guidelines, outside of their understanding of who God is. I mean, these are good, faithful people who are trying to understand who God is, and yet what Jesus does just doesn't match up with their understanding. And I think that can speak to us today, don't you think? I mean, how in our own traditions, in our own religious customs and traditions, you know, do we limit God's action in our midst? Or do we allow ourselves to see more? Are we like the Pharisees who our religious tradition keeps us defined and we can't see anything beyond that? Or are we in our religious tradition like Jesus and like the blind man, open to new vision, to new sight, to reaching out in a compassionate and just way? It's a choice that we can make in our lives. And I think a lot of it has to do with this. It's important to remember that Jesus did not come to bring about the church. I've said this at other times. Jesus came to bring about the kingdom. Jesus came to bring about this kingdom of God. And with Jesus bringing this about, the kingdom has started. The kingdom has begun. In a sense, the kingdom is here. It's already, but not yet. It's already in our midst, but not in its fullness. And so the life of Jesus is living into this kingdom, living into this wonder, living into this dream. We don't have to wait till we die to begin experiencing that new life. But we can begin to enter into it now. And the fullness of that life will come later. But we begin that process. And that's what Jesus is always doing. He's about kingdom living. And those disciples, those religious people who began to follow Jesus, were taken by that dream, taken by that vision, taken by that view of the kingdom of God. And after Jesus, these disciples, these followers, begin to form a community to bring about that kingdom. That's really what the church was about, to bring about the kingdom. And yet so often in religious traditions, we can become taken with just ourselves, just with churchiness, religion, and forget what we are there to be about. One of my seminary professors years ago once said, the church must be about the kingdom of God. And if the church ceases to be about the kingdom of God, God will find another way to bring about the kingdom of God. You know, we don't limit God. God will find a way. The kingdom is something that God brings, that Jesus came to bring. And we are challenged and called to be about that, to be this transforming presence in the world, to be transformed ourselves, to be this transforming presence in the world, to bring about the kingdom of God, to bring about that vision, to bring about that dream, to cease being blind but seeing in new ways. And so during this season of Lent, where we hear these stories of Jesus bring about this kingdom, but we also see it banging up against, in many ways, both the culture and religious traditions of his time. And yet, it is that kingdom living, that calling for the kingdom of God to become a reality in our world, that will lead Jesus to the cross. It's what leads to the crucifixion. But it leads to new life. And that is the great message, I think, of this season that we walk through. Because if we are to be about the kingdom of God, we also will experience the cross. We also will face rejection. We also will face opposition. We also may face people saying, that's just not the way God does things. That's not the way it is. It may lead us to that suffering. It may lead us to the cross. And yet Jesus is saying, staying faithful to that journey, faithful to that vision, faithful to that dream. Yes, there'll be suffering, but it's the door to new life. It's the door to resurrection. It's the door to incredible hope and possibility in our lives. And so in these final weeks of Lent, and really throughout our lives, we don't limit this to liturgical seasons, but let us be a people rooted in our tradition, knowing who we are, just as Jesus was grounded in his tradition. And let it be something that feeds us and nourishes us to go beyond and to bring about that kingdom, to bring about that vision, to bring about that dream, that we may transform ourselves and be a transforming presence in our world and bring about this wondrous new life that we will celebrate at Easter.